Turn your Bibles to Psalm 31. We'll be several different passages here just for a few minutes. This kind of goes along with some of the subjects I preached on lately over the last 6 or 7 weeks, though probably most of you don't remember, but just talking about peace and contentment and joy, speaking about having that faith and confidence in God. We went over some of the attributes of God again, looking at that, remembering that our God is all-powerful. God can do anything. And so I don't have my old, I have my new preaching Bible, which I thought would give me problems, but all I did was went to the Psalms and just turned a page, and there it is. Because just about every third or fourth Psalm, you can find the word trust in it. It's amazing. And I told you years ago, I went through, as I was reading my Bible through one time, and I went through and just marked every time the psalmist said trust in the Lord, or trust, and used the word trust. And so here in Psalm 31, it says, "In thee," this is David, "in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." And if you go on down through there, you can see verse 6 says, "I've hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord." Very familiar, and again, verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." But look at Proverbs 3. Most of you will know this one. Proverbs 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Trust in the Lord. Trust him. Trust. Trust and the word faith are very close cousins, and they can be interchangeable. Faith, trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Lord told Peter in Matthew chapter 11, verse 22, when Peter asked about the fig tree that had been cursed and he saw that it had withered away, and it says in verse 22 of Mark chapter 11, "And Jesus answered and saith unto them," his disciples, "trust," or he says, "have faith in God." Trust in God. Have faith in God. And he goes on to give some explanation there about moving a mountain and all those things. But trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Put your confidence in him. Our Lord can be trusted. Can be trusted. And no matter what is you're facing, no matter what our world is facing, no matter what who's in the White House, no matter who's the governor, no matter who, God can be trusted. God rules in the affairs of men. God rules in the affairs of men. He can be trusted. And God always has our best interests in mind. I've never said that to y'all before. One of my repeat phrases. We ought to just come up with like a 10 or 15 repeat phrases that I do and put them down somewhere. Not for anybody, just so we can repeat them, make sure we repeat them enough. And I was repeating to somebody the other day about love is spelled T-I-M-E. And some of those things that we just kind of put in your head over and over and over again, that we can trust the Lord, that he always has our best interest in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you and thank you again tonight. And as we study upon the subject of faith and trust, Lord, may we exercise that faith. May we trust you as we ought to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We practice faith every day. And we've preached many times on faith, but I know there's new converts and others in here. But we trust in things every day. I trusted that chair when I sat down in it. I trust that when I get in my Chevy truck, it's going to start. Now, you may get in your Ford and not do that kind of trusting, or a Dodge. It may not even make it out of the parking lot. But you get in the Chevy, push it on there. Oh, you Toyota guys, I'm sorry. Those will start too most of the time. But we trust. We trust every day. We trust, we trust the doctor when we go to the doctor. I don't understand half of what they're saying. Nothing on Miss James. I do. Miss James does a great job. But more importantly, is they hand you a prescription, you can't read it. I have no idea how to read that word that's that long. I'm trusting the doctor, he gave me the right stuff, or she gave me the right stuff, right? I go to the pharmacist. I trust the pharmacist that they gave me the right stuff. And maybe they gave me the, you know, the generic kind, and I have no idea what that is, and it's got a different name on it. But I'm trusting that I've been getting the right stuff. We trust the bank, or at least to a certain extent we do. Put our money in there. We trust the bank. We trust that they're going to handle it, and I can go in there and get my money back out if I want to. We trust airplanes. Airplanes. Really? Really? I'm telling you, it's fascinating, isn't it, that something that big can get off the ground and fly that far. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We trust the mechanics of the airplanes. Right, Brother John? Trust them. We trust elevators, except the one at Heritage Baptist Church. You can ask Adam about that one, Adam Biddle. He's been stuck in it a couple times. Use it at your own risk. I'm just kidding. It's only got three or four people stuck over the last 15, 16 years. We trust elevators. We put our trust in things every day. Faith is the glue that helps hold people's lives together. What if you didn't trust that chair? What if you didn't, you know, trust your car as you went out to it? I know sometimes a car will fail us, but what if we didn't trust the doctor? What if we didn't trust the pharmacist? I mean, faith really does hold our lives together. It holds our lives together. Having confidence in other people is part of our lives. But faith is only as good, and you've heard this statement before, but faith is only as good as its object. As its object. As I grew physically, I realized there were some things that just won't hold me anymore. Our first trip to Honduras, I believe it was the first trip to Honduras with the youth department, we had built a new auditorium, basically, I mean, on the side of the house, but it was enclosed, new, you know, a roof. We did, the young people did a great job. He had the slab laid before we got there. And when we came right down to it, didn't have enough chairs, and so our church had paid for all the materials, and we had, again, had put it up, and so we went and bought chairs. Well, in Honduras and these third world countries, they use these little plastic white chairs. It's just not built for people like me. And at that time, I was about 40 pounds heavier than I am now, 50 pounds heavier than I am now. And when I sat, and I was on the front row, and I sat in that white chair, brand new white chair, and bam, down on the ground I went. Shattered it. I'm exaggerating. It didn't shatter, but on the front row, right? So faith is only as good as its object, as its object. And those flimsy white chairs, shouldn't have put my faith in that. It was embarrassing. Embarrassing, that's how you say it in Texas, embarrassing. You guys from Washington, I'm sorry. Do I need to interpret that for y'all? I will. I have so many stories, and you get my head going different directions, but we first got out here to Hasslet, we really did have a lot of, I would call country folk, you know, just not a lot, anyway, not a lot of Californian people and northern people. And I got up one Sunday about 2 or 3 years after we got in this building, the building behind us, and I asked, some of y'all were there, I asked the question, I said, how many of y'all from the north? And all of a sudden I realized, the South was outnumbered in our church. I said, I've got to start being nice to people now. But I also had to make up a dictionary for those from California to be able to understand what we were saying from the pulpit. So faith is only as good as its object. Trust people. What you get is what people can do. So trust people, we get what people can do. Trust money, and we get what money can do. Trust ourselves, and we get what we can do. But trust God, we get what God can do. We get what God can do. What does it mean to trust God? What does it mean to trust God? Here's a few things that I hope will encourage you tonight. Understanding and know, and again, I shouldn't say this as much as I do, but I know some of you know this. Some of this is elementary. Some of it's stuff you've heard many times, but review is the best teacher. And it's good to be reminded that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to grow your faith, It comes through the Word of God. It comes through the Word of God. I think I'll give you an analogy at the end of the message. I hope that'll help you. But faith comes from God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith is listening to what God says in His Word and acting on it. Again, faith is acting. It's not just believing, but acting upon that belief. Faith, again, is sitting down in the chair. It's not saying, well, I think that chair can hold me. It's saying, it's sitting down in the chair. That's the act of faith. The act of faith. It's doing it. Faith strengthens. By the way, and I wrote this down in my notes, our faith is not based upon frivolous fairy tales. And we get that a lot as Christians sometimes, especially talking to somebody who claims to be an atheist or whatever the case is, and they begin to, you know, to mimic or to put down what we do, that we're relying upon a crutch or whatever the case is, or that we're relying on somebody's opinion. Can I tell you, when we put our faith in the Lord, we're basing that upon the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are facts. So our faith is built upon facts. Everybody see that? Not just, you know, pie in the sky, I hope this, opinion that. No, my faith is based upon the Word of God. Facts from the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I put my faith in the Lord. I put my faith in Him. Faith strengthens as a relationship grows. As a relationship grows. Absolutely. Our trust grows, our faith grows as the relationship grows. As your relationship with the Lord grows, you will experience more faith. More faith. Hebrews 11, that great historic chapter on faith, describes again that Enoch walked with God. How did Enoch's faith grow? By walking with the Lord. Trust in your marriage grows as time goes on. Trust grows. I illustrate this by saying, you know, it's trust grows in a relationship over time. And so if you think about it, if a stranger comes up and asks you for $100, you're not going to trust that. Versus your child coming up and asking for $100. Now, you won't give it to them, but you'd have much more trust and faith in your child that you've known all their life than you would a stranger coming up and asking for $100 or $500 or whatever the case may be. So trust grows over time. Faith grows over time. Faith motivates us to do God's will. Again, we think about Hebrews chapter 11, that great historic faith chapter with all those the people of faith. The Bible speaks about that Noah prepared an ark. Abraham offered up. Moses chose Israel over Egypt, and you go on and on and on, that faith motivates us to do God's will. Faith. Think about that. Abraham went to a place he'd never seen. He followed, he trusts the Lord. Faith isn't feeling good about what God says, but doing what He says. Doing what He says. And Brother Zellner first came to our church years and years ago. I can't say how many times he told me. It's about application. And I can tell you, as Christians, it's certainly about application. That many times our knowledge of the Bible, that our education far exceeds our application. That we understand and know what the Bible says, but to act on it, we sometimes fail in that area. And so faith, again, is acting upon it. Acting upon it. Faith isn't just, again, feeling good about what God says, but doing what He says. It's not just a mental assent to what He said, but we really only believe what we practice. And that's absolutely true. Think about that for a moment. We only really believe, we only really trust and have faith in what we practice. You can say all day long that we ought to this about what God has to say, but until we practice it, that's a whole other thing. James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. You show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Abraham, according to Romans chapter 4 and 5, Abraham and David's faith proved out their salvation. Their faith, their works proved out their salvation. Their works proved their salvation. It didn't save them, but it proved that they were saved. Faith without works is dead. It's practicing what the Bible says. All of us could improve in this area, right? All of us. Trusting in the Lord. Faith, when acted upon, is a witness. I am going to go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in my new preaching Bible. It may take me 35 minutes to find it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Most of you have heard these verses so many times, but sometimes we maybe skip over that second verse. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we have the hall of faith here that so many great men and women of the Bible whom God said had a testimony of faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But look at verse 2. For by it, what is it? Faith. So by faith, it, the elders obtained what? A good report. By faith, they obtained a good report. What does that mean? It means because they exercised what they were told, because they exercised their trust in God, because they had faith in God and exercised upon that trust in Him. In other words, they actually sat in the chair, didn't just discuss it or have feelings that the chair could hold them, but they actually sat down in the chair. They acted upon what God told them to do. They obtained a good testimony. It was a great witness. And can I tell you, when you, as a child of God, trust in God, when you, as a child of God, put your faith in God, when you act according to God's word, in spite of circumstances, in spite of feelings, or in spite of the consequences, you obtain a good report. You obtain a good witness. An example of that is tithing and giving an offering. I don't know how many times somebody has said to me, well, preacher, I can't afford to tithe. No, you cannot afford not to tithe. You say, well, I can't pay this bill or that bill. Well, you're never going to get ahead if you're a Christian. You're never going to get ahead if you're a child of God if you're not tithing and giving an offering. You'll always be behind. So what do? You have faith. You trust. You give the tithe. You give the offering, knowing, trusting that God will take care of the rest. Amen? That's it. You step out by faith, relying upon and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. A growing faith, it begins, of course, with salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, right? And then, not only are we saved by faith, but we're to walk by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says we are to stand by faith. We were to walk by faith in this world, and we're to stand by faith. I'm telling you, we that standing part is becoming more and more a reliance upon not what I can do, but what God can do. As time goes on, it's going to become even more. I am telling you, we are in that day and age. We're in the last days. And again, the world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm excited for the Lord's return, aren't you? Amen. But until He returns, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom we should shine in the lights in the world. We should be a light and understanding that we are to stand, and we are to stand by faith. In other words, putting confidence and trust in the Lord that He'll take care of it. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. Not only are we saved by faith, we're to walk by faith and stand by faith, but we are what? To live by faith. Live by faith. Hebrews 2, 4, and Romans 1, 17, and Galatians 20, and on and on and on. Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews 10, on and on speaks about living by faith. Many times again, we had trust in the Lord when we got saved, but the living part we have seemingly a more issue with, of trusting Him with our complete and all of our life, surrendering totally to Him, surrendering all of our lives to Him. Our life to Him. Growing faith. How can you tell if you live by faith? Here's four or five things. How can you tell? What are some signs? What are some things that you know that you're living by faith? Number one is what I'm doing based on God's word. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is what I'm doing based on God's word? Not a feeling, but based upon God's word. Putting confidence and obedience to God's word. Think about Noah. God said, Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. Noah, I'm going to send rain upon the earth. The earth had never seen rain before. Noah had never seen rain before. Noah, you need to build an ark. And I'm going to send you the animals. And just on and on and on. And Noah, by faith, built an ark. Trusted, put his confidence, his faith in God. Put his faith in God. Abraham. So Noah built, but Abraham was asked to go. And go to a place you've never seen. And I'll give you all that your shoes walk on. And I'll make your seat as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore. What did Abraham do? He went. He went to a place he'd never seen. Walked in a country he'd never been before. Having confidence in God. Trusting in the Lord. Putting his faith in the Lord. Putting his confidence in him. Abraham and Noah. We know Abraham had a relationship with God based upon Acts chapter 7. I'm thankful we have Acts chapter 7 that gives us more details about what God said and how God came to Abraham. It's an amazing thing that God literally came to Abraham. Christophany. Jesus Christ came to Abraham and talked to him just like we're talking. He appeared unto him. So there was a relationship there. Then there was a revelation from God. In other words, God revealed to Noah and God revealed to Abraham. Then there was obedience. Noah and Abraham obeyed. And then there was a reward from God. Reward from God. Noah, because he placed his trust in God and confidence in God, saved his house. Because Abraham put his confidence and trust in the Lord, he had a son. Became a great nation. God's chosen people. Putting your faith in the Lord as God reveals, as you have that relationship with the Lord, as you walk with the Lord, and as He reveals things to you from His Word by way of the reading of the Word or by the preaching or by music, God reveals things to you. Then if you're obedient to those things in which He reveals to you, there will be a reward for it. In other words, God will bless it. God blesses obedience. I'm thankful His love is unconditional. But it's obedience that brings blessings. I can love my kid unconditionally, and I should, all three of my boys. I should love them unconditionally. But if they're not, you know, again, they're all grown now, but let's just take Micah. We always pick on Micah, and he's not in here. You know, Micah still lives at the house. If he crossed the line, I'm not going to bless him for doing that. It's going to cause a rift. It may mean that, you know, his suitcases get put out on the, you know, see ya. Right? Do I still love him? Yes. But would I do the right thing and doing the right thing if it meant to do those things? Yes, I believe I would. I think my boys think I would. Because I had that same confidence in my dad. I knew my dad growing up, if I didn't do right, And if I ever crossed a line too far, that my bags would be on the front porch. I believe that. I really did. Got to put the fear of God in your kids. All right. Nobody? Okay. Amen. I appreciate my dad. Amen in that. Obedience brings reward. We say, well, preacher, you know, you used the example of Noah and you used the example of Abraham. And we could go back and take many Old Testament examples of men and women whom God revealed himself to and God spoke to. And then they were obedient to what God revealed to them. And then God blessed them. You say, well, that was Old Testament times. God literally spoke to them, or either verbally, or he spoke to them in a dream. Or, I mean, they had more than we have. They had more evidence than we have. They have more. Well, that's not what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21, Peter says that we have it better. That we got to go turn there. Turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're still in Hebrews, it's just a few pages over. If you have a new Bible, I'll give you a little time. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Notice what Peter says. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said, we saw him, we touched him. It wasn't a fairy tale. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How would you like to have been there and heard the voice of God? And this voice which came from heaven, verse 18, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy is of the scriptures of any private interpretation. And it goes on, but verse 19 says, we have a more sure word. He's speaking of the Bible you hold in your hand, or the phone you hold in your hand, the word of God. He's saying that we have it better. We have a more sure word. And I'm telling you, we put our confidence and put our trust in him, put our trust in the Lord based upon the scriptures. So number one is what I'm doing based upon God's word. Number two, am I willing to be patient and wait? And we're not going to turn to these verses, but Romans chapter 10, Isaiah 28, verse 16. Don't be hasty or you'll be ashamed. We need to be patient. Patient. Patience is the mark of maturity. We understand and we know that it's God's will, but in God's time. God's never late. He's never early. He's always on time. He's always on time. He always has his hand on the thermostat, deciding cold or hot. He's never going to get too hot for you, never too cold for you, that you can't take it. God always, again, has your best interest in mind. And we need to be patient. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. That word wait in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 40, it means trust. Wait upon the Lord means trust the Lord. Trust him. Trust him. Again, in every situation, we should trust him. Trust him. It is our belief and our trust in the Lord that shapes our worldview. Knowing that God can be trusted in every area of our life. Trusted with our marriage, trusted with our children, trusted with our jobs, trusted with the politics, the government, trusted with everything. We trust him. We trust him. I'm still studying Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We're going to preach that here in a couple of weeks. But rooted and grounded in him, putting our confidence in him, receiving that spiritual nourishment from him that we need. So being patient. Then third, do we have peace and joy? Do we have peace and joy? If we're putting our confidence in the Lord and trusting him as we ought to, then we will experience joy and peace. Biblical faith brings joy and peace no matter the circumstances. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, and they were still singing. Amen? So again, joy and peace is not dictated by the circumstances. Boldness comes when you know God is on your side, and peace brings confidence. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. No matter what I may go through, no matter what I face, I'm on the winning side. This life is just a speck compared to eternity. We're just pilgrims passing through. Then lastly, will what I do glorify God? When I exercise faith, when I put my trust in him, then what I do will glorify God. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. He couldn't claim credit for Isaac. Sarah was past the age of having kids. It was a miracle. It's a miracle from God. And God brought that miracle. Abraham putting his trust in him. Now, Abraham was tested, and he may have stumbled a time or two, don't we? He may have stumbled a time or two with Hagar. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But in the end, he trusted, and God blessed him for it. Our feelings, I have a Vance Havner quote here. It says, "By faith, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and Moses did the impossible." Our feelings can be deceptive and lead us in the wrong way. We need to be careful about our feelings. We can get down. We can get depressed. We can get anxious. We need to be careful about our feelings. Put our confidence in the Lord. And by the way, just because experts are the majority of people, our friends, our family are doing it, doesn't make it right. Or just because they're the ones that gave you all the advice doesn't make it the right decision either. Put your confidence in the Lord. Go to Him and always pray and go to Him. The way of faith is sometimes lonely. Sometimes lonely. Too many walk by sight and not by faith. You remember we built the first building? It took forever. One of the first roadblocks we hit was I went to the bank and I said, "Hey, this is what we want to do." And there's a good Christian banker that I met through another church. And man, and he was fantastic. And by the way, we're still banking with him today. But I went to him and said, "Here's what we want to do. And here's what the church voted on." And the church had voted on at that time, this was in 2003, on the building behind us to borrow $1.5 million. And the banker told me, because he's a Christian man, he was one of the trustees of Hallmark Baptist Church in South Fort Worth. He said, "I appreciate your faith and your church's faith, but our bank board won't have that much faith. Go back and redraw." Some of y'all remember that? Go back and redraw. So we had to go back and redraw. We had to make the building smaller, had to cut off about 20 feet of it, and we redrew. We went back at $1.1 million or maybe a million. It was a million, I think. It was right at $1 million. And the banker said, "That's better." But our church, $1.5 million, and it was 100% vote. 100% vote. Step out by faith and do it. Confidence that God was going to see it through. Confidence that God see it through. And I'm thankful over the years that our church has been that way. Just confident that God and trust Him in going forward. How does faith grow? No faith, little faith, giant faith. I kind of wrote this down. How does faith grow? Well, it grows through feeding on His Word. It's the nutrition that helps us grow. It's the milk of the Word. It's the meat of the Word. It's the strong meat of the Word. We grow through nutrition, right? I grow through nutrition. I grow through eating, and I really enjoy eating a lot. And we ought to enjoy feasting upon the Word of God just as much. As a Christian, you ought to have appetite for the Word of God. And when your appetite for the Word of God is not what it ought to be, that means there's something not right. Just like when we don't have a physical appetite, usually that means there's something not right. My wife, if I don't eat normally, she'll look at me and say, "What's wrong? Why didn't you have, two or three tuna sandwiches instead of just a half? Or why did you only eat half your meal?" That never happens, right? Same thing on the spiritual side. If we're not feeding on the Word of God and we don't have an appetite for the Word of God, then we need to check up, make sure there's not sin in our life, and how is our walk with God going? So again, feeding on the Word of God is our nutrition. And then enduring trials, the trials of life are those, it's what exercises our muscles, the muscles of faith. It's exercise. None of us like to talk about exercise, but we ought to have and we need physical exercise. When I'm walking and doing right, and the last two or three years when I'm walking and doing right, man, I feel so much better. When I'm eating right, I'm not eating near as much Kit Kats and stuff as I used to. And if Brother Billy would quit leaving them for me. But I feel better, right? We feel better when we're eating right, when we're exercising, and then when we exercise our faith, when we go through the trials and we go through the detours of life, when we go through the distractions, and but God sees us through it, exercises our faith, it helps grow our spiritual muscles. Prayer. Prayer is important to faith. Prayer is the power source. We need His power. We need the trainer, if you would. I used to use the illustration, and there's maybe a little bit of, maybe not as good illustration as I thought it used to be, but I mean, when you're doing squats or lifting weights, you need a spotter, and you always need God there. And you need to go to Him in prayer. And then consider others. Our faith grows by considering others who are godly examples. I'm thankful for men and women in this church who are godly examples of faith. I'm thankful, as I said before, we've had men and women who exercise faith by saying, hey, yes, preacher, let's build this building, let's do this, and just stepping out by faith and doing things. We have godly examples in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have Noah and Abraham, all these godly examples in the Old Testament. If you're not a reader, you ought to be. And some of the great examples of heroes of the faith are, you know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon and George Mueller and Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody. And you ought to be a reader. You ought to find these and read about these men and women. I mentioned Miss Wesley. Susanna Wesley, I think it was last Sunday, the Sunday before. Great men and women of the faith who exercise faith, who are godly examples for us and would inspire us, encourage us by their example. How's your faith tonight? Those who exercise great faith will lead to godly examples and godly witnesses and effective witnesses for the Lord. Effective witness to your neighbor. Effective witness to your coworkers. Effective witnesses to your family. Effective witness to your loved ones. Exercising faith, acting upon the Word of God, will bring its rewards, its blessings every time. Let's pray.